The IMG Roadmap is the only podcast dedicated to coaching international medical graduates and success blueprints for this unique pathway. I am Dr. Nina Loom, your host, a previous IMG turned hospital medicine physician, healthcare administrator, speaker, and coach. I empower, encourage, and equip you with actionable steps that you can take towards the residency position of your dreams. Hi, guys. Welcome to another episode of the IMG Roadmap podcast. Today's guest is Dr. Ruthvi Shah. She actually just matched in 2020, so she's yet to start residency this September. She's a US IMG, but she went to medical school in India. Actually, I'm going to stop. I want her to introduce herself. Welcome to the podcast, Dr. Shah. Can you introduce yourself to us, please?
Yeah. Yes. Thank you so much, Dr. Loom, for giving me this opportunity. My name is Dr. Ruthvi Shah. I'm a US IMG, as Dr. Loom said. I went to medical school in India, which was a 5.5-year program. My year of graduation is March of 2018, and I will now be a PGY1 in pediatrics.
Awesome. Congratulations. I'm so proud
of you. Thank you.
I'm so proud of you. I remember probably all the times that we've DM'd with one or two questions that you've had for me. And it feels like a growing relationship, even though we've never met in real life. It's amazing how the internet allowed proximity and so that I could be a benefit to you. So I'm really, really happy about that. So you did mention that you went to medical school in India. What year did you graduate from medical school?
So I graduated in March of 2018 from there.
Okay. What was the name of your school?
The name of my school is Brahmaswami Medical College. It's located in the state of Gujarat in India.
Okay. But you are a U.S. person. I just want to reemphasize that. So you're a U.S. citizen and you went to school in India. So can you tell us about your match story? Like, how did you end up matching into pediatrics? I know that you actually wrote an ebook on this, which I published on my website, Dr. Nina Loom. But we kind of want to hear your voice and hear your story and share your joy with us.
Yes. So pediatrics has always been one of my interests. It was something that I wanted to do from the very beginning. So as I joined medical school, my main goal was to kind of build my curriculum vitae towards pediatrics and try to go for things that are pediatrics related, like with research or volunteering through orphanages and things such as that. And knowing that I was studying in India and I knew that I wanted to come back. So I was pretty serious about, you know, starting my USMLE journey and planning that out beforehand so that I knew that once I finished medical school, what steps needed to be taken and what I needed to do to achieve this goal.
Yeah. So I think one thing that you talked about just a moment ago, which I think is very important for us to reemphasize, is once you figured out what you wanted to do, you aligned your clinical experiences to mirror that specialty. So for example, you just mentioned your volunteer experience was, you know, you went to work at an orphanage and your rotations, your research projects, you kept them along the lines of pediatrics because later on when you fill out your application, what you've done is your application is fully showing a person that's reviewing your application, like a program director, how much interest you have in the specialty. And I think that's a key point because IMGs are worried about the USMLE changing into a pass-fail system for step one come 2022. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the ways that programs are going to triage students is by those experiences that you mentioned, because they'll still need proof of interest in the specialty. And therefore, your experiences, your research projects, your clinical rotations, your volunteer rotations would have to be in specialties that you are interested in, because that's what's going to show that you, this is something that you really want to do and that it's not a backup plan.
Definitely. Definitely.
Yeah. So just some more questions coming at you. Can you talk to us about like your USMLE prep? Because sometimes some people that are in medical schools outside of the States that are not from Caribbean schools, they're kind of worried about when is the perfect time to take step one, especially if they're in a 5 or 7 year curriculum, like what you had. So is there a perfect time? When do you recommend that they start studying and when do they take step one?
So I honestly really wished I prepped myself earlier, which is something that I wish I'd done, was that during my first and second year of medical school, I wish I had learned about, you know, USMLE and what resources are used. So now that that's become a very common practice and you can find these resources everywhere, I think people can start earlier. And the main thing for me was that the system in India is different from the system in the United States, the way you learn things, the way you take the examinations. So there was a discrepancy in that. So I couldn't exactly focus on, you know, studying for the USMLE while studying for stuff in India for medical school. So what I did was that once I graduated, I started going through the first aid all through it once, with using additional resources such as Pathoma or Sketchy Micro or YouTube videos for some topics that I didn't understand. So I did that all at once, and then I started UWorld. And I think what the main goal is to kind of take your steps where you are going to be finishing them before you apply, so that you have all of them done and you can solely concentrate on your matching process, you know, your interviews and things such as that. So trying to align your timeline into going into that would be the best thing. And for me, that was that, you know, I would take a gap year to take these exams to get some more clinical experience and then apply for the match. So that's right. What I kind of did.
Okay. So because you graduated in 2018 and then you applied mm-hmm. in 2019. So that 1 year, did you do all the exams in that 1 year or did you spread them out? How did you spread them out?
So I graduated in March of 2018 and then I took those 9 months to study for step one. So I took my step one in December of 2018. And then I took another 4.5 to 5 months to take CK. So I took CK May of 2019. And then I took a month to study for CS and I took my CS June of 2019. So I did end up taking them all in that 1 year.
Okay. Okay. Wow. That would have been a lot, I would assume. How were you able to just keep going like that?
I mean, the main focus was that, you know, this is something that I want and there's no other way around it other than to study for this and take the exam. I know a lot of people get scared closer to their exams. And I did too, but I was like, no, I really want to apply next year and I need this time. So I kind of just kept my mind going in that direction, saying that, okay, this is what I need to do. I can do this. I can get it done. And so that's the way I approached it.
Right. Great perspective there. You know, I get that question often and I'll start referring people to your method, honestly, because I usually thought it was best if you did it, like if you could take step one while still in medical school, you know, in one of those extended curriculums that are maybe 5 or 7 years long. But you're mm-hmm. saying it's perfectly fine to actually plan to do it after medical school graduation.
Yeah. Yeah. I personally planned initially to take it during medical school, but because it was such a different way of learning and I needed to refocus on that way of learning, I just didn't find the time in medical school to study for it and to be able to take it. So I was like, okay, you can take a year off to focus on this.
Right, right. Perfectly makes sense. So, you know, just some, you've already kind of touched on the gap year there. You've touched on the steps. I know, you know, when I sent you this invitation, I asked, you know, what challenges have you experienced or what challenges did you experience and how did you overcome them? One of the things that you wrote on there was, you know, low step one performance. And I know that that's mm-hmm. become sort of a stronghold for several other IMGs. Can you just touch a little bit on what that challenge was for you and how you overcame it?
Yes. So once I got my step one score, I honestly thought I'd done better like most people do. And it turned out to be a low score and I can share my score. I'm okay with that, which was 209. And I was really, really upset about it because, you know, this is one dream that I've had and everyone emphasizes on the step one, how important it is. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is a low score. What am I going to do? So like the first initial days, it was miserable for me. And then, you know, I talked to some of my colleagues, my seniors, and they were like, okay, look, you passed. That is a good thing. You need to appreciate that. But what you need to do is work on your CK score. And if you're able to show a jump in your score that you're doing better, you're improving yourself, programs do look at that, which turned out to be true because I had an interviewer comment on how my score had jumped. And I think that's what, you know, you need to focus on after you get a low score is that, yes, it happened. You can't change it. You need to move on and you need to do better. So that's the kind of mindset that I went into to improve my CK score.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree with you because the mindset is such a big thing. And I think, you know, one of the things with IMGs is, you know, we read all these forums, we're in these groups, and if you go only by what you read on the internet, honestly, you'll be left like destitute because based on your score alone, there's tons of people that would say you don't stand a chance, right? But right. If you don't listen to that and you say, I'm going to take this failure or this low performance to determine other ways to improve my portfolio and be better. And mm-hmm. I'm going to take this as an opportunity to continue to fight and to continue to work harder for CK and CS and network and do the other things that I know to do, then I could come out just okay. And that's kind of what I'm right. hearing in your story as well is, even though you had that setback, you didn't just sit there and like say, okay, I'm doomed. Instead, you continue to work. Right. Okay, I'm going to do the other two things I know how to do. The other tests, mm-hmm. I'm going to keep volunteering. I'm going to keep doing clinically relevant activity. So can you talk to us about the research that you did? Because you did mention doing research. Can you just give us some insight on that?
Yes. So I did research in my medical school in India. We had a really good pediatrics professor who was very much interested in research. And I approached him and I talked to him that this is what I'm interested in. I would be interested in doing research with you. So I ended up doing two projects with him throughout all my medical school, which both I did get to publish, which was awesome. But it's kind of just having that mindset, like, from the beginning. And I understand that a lot of people don't know what they want to do, but if you are interested in something, then I would suggest definitely pursuing it, talking to your professors, talking to your consultants, your attendings, and approaching them and talking to them about being able to do this and trying to get yourself into this kind of a beneficial thing on your CV, which will help you out later. So that's mainly what I did was I just approached him and I was like, I'm interested. Do you have anything for me? Can I do anything? And then we were able to work on two projects together. So,
right. And I think it's important for IMGs to hear this because a lot of times they feel like their research has to be done in the States. If you right. don't have the opportunity to do research in the States, you could still do it where you are. So if you yeah, are in medical sure. school, you can do it with your medical school. Like it doesn't have to be US research because guess what? Publications, you can publish in any journal across the world, irrespective of where your research was done, if it's pertinent for that journal, right? So you can exactly. have an yeah. article that's only published in the British Medical Journal, but because it's published there, it's just as credible as one that comes out in the New England Journal of Medicine. So mm-hmm. it doesn't matter where you are, just do the research in that location. Because at the end of the day, in your right. CV, it's not about if you are like the guru of research, it's really about, do you understand what research is? Because in residency, they're going to teach you more about how to become the expert in that specialty. So you're not expected to be an yeah. expert in medical school. It's just, we need to know, programs need to know that you have a basic understanding of how to do research. So that when you come in, they're mm-hmm. not teaching you the basics. They're now taking what you've learned and amplifying that into something that's pertinent for your specialty. Would you agree?
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Do what you can where you are, and that is okay. And it still counts as an experience, even though it wasn't done in the United States.
Right. Absolutely. So, you know, you were one of the people that like DM'd me on match day. Oh my God, I matched. And you actually wrote your whole experience out in a book. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah. So I really, really wanted to be able to share my journey with people because of certain challenges that I faced. And I know that a lot of people face this, but they don't have the information to move forward. And I was like, I definitely want people to learn from this. And if I can help anyone in any way, I would love to be able to do it. So I did make this PDF where, you know, it explains my whole journey from how I prepped for my USMLE to all the type of clinical experiences that I got to the MASH process itself and the interview itself. So if you would want a more detailed write up on this, then definitely check this story out on imgroadmap.com.
Right. Just as a correction, guys, it's on drninaloom.com. It's my blog. And I'll link it. That's fine. I'll link it to the bottom of the show notes for this episode. IMGRoadmap.com is my online course where I teach IMGs on how to go about the step-by-step process. Well, but, you know, I really want you to just give us your mantra. What has been your mantra throughout this process? What are some take-home points for us?
Well, definitely my mantra has been that believe in yourself and keep faith in yourself. You know what you are doing, trust the process. And if you have any problems, talk to people, because there are people that are ready to help you, and please do not hesitate to approach them. More even so is that, you know, there are going to be some roadblocks ahead, but if you can overcome that, then you are definitely going to make it, and it's all going to be okay in the end.
Yes. Okay. I really appreciate that. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. And I wish you nothing but so much success in your pediatric residency. I wouldn't ask you to disclose where you're going because, you know, you're still starting out. We don't want to put that information right out there. But whenever you do start this June, keep us in mind, come back on the podcast and tell us how it's going for you. But thank you
definitely
so much.
Definitely, I would love to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. You have a wonderful rest of your day.
Thank you. You too. And everyone, please take care in this time.
Yes, absolutely.